Hi, this is Alan Miranda from Ossian Studios, and you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
This is so exciting! Wow! Where to begin?
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at NeverwinterNightsPodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hello, I'm Trey, a.k.a. Ashkan Zelo. Boom, boom, chicka, chicka, wah, wah.
How do you follow that? And I'm Dave, eat dessert.
Hi, I'm Michelle, a.k.a. Liso.
Hey, and this is episode 95, a special episode
of the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The podcast all about Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games, and this episode is brought to you by Striker B from Israel and Roannon in Texas.
Why is it special?
So why are we so special?
We're always special.
Well, what's so special about this wink, wink, nudge, nudge, eh?
This specific episode, we...
It's March 17th, and...
It's St. Patrick's Day!
So why is our show special this week, Moshell?
Moshell? Yeah. I just want to break out like that.
We can try one more time. So, Michelle, why is this week so special?
This week, we are kicking off a new segment, Audio Reviews. However, we had the opportunity and to get Mysteries of Westgate review copy, and I played it, the evil path and the good path, and I have a full audio review. I have a video gameplay clip. It's about 20 seconds, and I'm not giving too many spoilers away in it, so don't get too excited. You have to actually buy the game to see the good stuff. Dave, settle down.
You just said we. I was like, "Did you got a copy?"
Neverwinter Nights podcast got a copy. As a collective, even only one person's playing it, it's still we.
You're gonna send it to us when you're done?
Oh yeah, sure. I promote pirating amongst my cohorts.
No, as long as you delete it off your machine, it's not pirating.
Clear your throat.
As long as you delete it off your PC, it's not pirating.
As long as you delete it off of your torrent.
Today is the Skunkarainers.
Skunkalicious.
Yeah, there you go. The skunk's birthday, March 17th, the night we're recording this. So we need to sing him happy birthday. Everybody join in, ready?
Happy birthday to you.
To you.
Happy birthday to you.
To you.
Happy birthday, Skunkaroony.
The skunk.
Skunking.
Happy birthday to you.
And many more. Oh, yeah, so who do we have on the IRC tonight?
Tonight we have... We have Dave Eat the Surf.
Hey.
He's a host. Who's...
I'm there.
Oh, yeah, you're reading down the list. Who's this Gloggerbot?
Gloggerbot is cool. He's highly abused by Trey and Roannon.
It's fun.
And I'm begging Gloggerbot to steal your cues away.
I'm glad that Greenful put that on there for us.
Yes, I am too.
He's nice.
He's very nice.
Striker's asleep. Is Grinning Fool on there? Is he listening?
I don't know. He said he was going to be here, but he's not answered, so I guess he's AFK.
Hey, Dave, when you said, oh, and then we have the George. Dave goes, George of the NWN.
George, Georgia of the Neverwinter Nights, strong as he can be.
I hope George doesn't think we're crazy.
We are crazy.
Why? He's a grown man playing Neverwinter Nights. What's the problem? He's as crazy as the rest of us. Spends free times making games for people for free.
Okay, so what do we have for some news tonight, boys and girls? Oh my gosh, we got a listener question this week.
No way.
Sound the horns. Hey, we got an email from Chad. You guys know what happened at nwn.stratix.com? It used to be a great information site on NWN and NWN2, but it's been down for several months.
Oh, dude, didn't you do something about that?
Actually, I answered back and said, hey, I'll do some research, see what I can find, do some Ask It Around, and we'll have an answer for you in this show. So, and actually, I got to looking at it, and I'm thinking, well, that looks like a subdomain. So I went to stratix.com, and then when I went there, I said, oh, man, this is starting to look, sound off some bells. And then I got to looking back through our index of podcasts, and we actually had the nwnstratix.com in our news in episode 4 back in December of 2006.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I went back and I listened. I listened to that part of the episode, and all we say is we just say, hey, there's a new site we found, and here's the URL. That's really all we say about it.
It's gone belly up, huh?
But it seemed to I seem to remember, though, after that, we started talking to a guy, to the whoever the guy was that was running that, and I cannot for the life of me remember his name. I think it started with an S. But then right there at the beginning of 2007, I do remember this guy. I remember this guy on that Stratix website saying, hey, I got banned from the BioWare forums, and he goes into a big, long story of why he got banned. I don't remember what it was. And so I then think after that, the site just died. So,
Super Sleuth Trey to the rescue.
And I've been asking around, and no one seems to know what happened to it. But Stratix.com is still alive and well, and it's actually in a massively online, an MMO, hub site, kind of like the Vault, or IGN, I guess.
I used to go to Stratix when I played World of Warcraft, if I got stuck in quests and stuff.
So, Chad, I guess we don't know why it's...
It's a mystery, which is the theme for this week. Mysteries.
Mysteries, definitely.
Mysteries of the podcast.
Speaking of mysteries...
Speaking of mysteries...
So we have with us Alan Miranda from Ossian Studios. Welcome, Alan.
Good to be here.
It's a pretty exciting time, huh, Alan?
Yeah, for sure. Lots of people
finally.
Are excited about now. Yeah, finally. How long has it been? You tell me.
Oh, my gosh. What was it? Last May that we went out to Beverly Hills?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I don't know how many months before.
And I think it was done in September prior to that.
It was done in September. I don't remember exactly when we announced it. I think it was around October, November, something like that.
That's like 07, is that right?
I do have to say something. I've had the honor of playing Mysteries of Westgate completely through with a reviewer's code. It is not vaporware. You guys will see it. I promise you.
Cool.
So, Alan, you got any juicy tidbits for us?
Not too much, actually. We're just waiting for the distribution approvals to happen with Atari. And as soon as that's all set, then, you know, they'll announce the date and they'll send it out.
Cool.
That kind of sounds like a painful process.
It's not really meant to be painful, but, you know, there were, I think, some slight changes made which require approvals. You'll see what I mean when it gets released. That required approvals, and approvals aren't instant because approvals have to go through Hasbro. And so it gets kind of, you know, put in the queue and gets processed. So, yeah, you can't just put something in and expect it to be approved the next day. So that's why we're waiting right now.
Well, dude, when it is released, I think you're going to see record downloads. Don't you
awesome.
Think? Don't you think?
I think so.
Sheer anticipation. People are going to download it regardless because they have been anticipating this forever. And after you all listen to my review, I know you're going to download it.
No, there'll be people that wait and want to and do their bashing. That's the net.
Well, this is true.
This is true.
But the core of us are all stuff.
We'll see.
My review is completely objective because, well, I don't have that whole conscience camaraderie thing. And and I think Alan knew that I would be objective about it. But I truly, truly have got to say a couple of things before our review is even put out on here. One, these guys do the best quest ever. In any game I have ever played, they are so not FedEx. They are fun. They are innovative, and they are interactive.
Did she say not FedEx?
Not FedEx.
Not the get the golden pantaloons quest.
So I'm curious, Alan, how many times have you actually played through the pack?
Plenty. Too much. I've done the critical path, but I mostly did a lot of the side quests. Chasimeta. I mean, we got testers on the project, and we have people on the team that also test, but I really don't know how many times I've played it. Just countless. So, enough.
That's probably like in 2 years worth of play, right?
Yeah, because each time there's a patch that comes out, we got to rebuild, and we have to retest. And, you know, that's not a day process. That can take anywhere from a few days to a couple of weeks. And how many patches were there since 1.10? A lot. So we had to deal with each and every one of them. And sometimes they were bugs that we had to talk with Atari and Obsidian about. And, I mean, you've seen hot fixes come out as well, and sometimes the game, you know, got messed up by some new functionality that was put in Neverwinter 2, but we got it all sorted out.
Awesome. Or, I mean, Aussian.
Take your pick.
That's so Aussian!
I think we started a trend.
We're going to start a new trend.
Well, hey, Michelle.
Yes.
Hey, what did you say has the best quests, or the best quest,
The best quest, period. All of them. They all really good. Well, you know what? I've gone through, I don't know how many quests there are supposed to be. I found 15.
Oh, you missed one.
Oh, no.
Wow, just one.
16.
Michelle missed something? Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Yeah, really?
This doesn't include the quests that are on the critical path. Those aren't side quests per se, but those are quests. But there's 16 side quests.
Okay, I have found 15. Oh, see, now I have to go do some more digging. I got to go around and see if I missed somebody. Well, obviously I did.
So how long does it take you to play all the way through?
You know what? Michelle? Yeah, I'm just going to get made fun of.
Why? What? Don't you always? Wait,
actually, Michelle plays everything super fast, so.
No, she doesn't.
Well, Trace. Hey,
we have one of our QA testers, Rich. I think he took, the first time he played it, it took him around 25 hours. Don't be embarrassed, Michelle, if you're
a fan.
I figured you're going for 15. That
I clocked in around 25.
Really? Cool.
Yes. Well, because I'm obsessive compulsive, apparently.
Yeah, but you missed one. Na 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 na.
Go on, Michelle. You'll find it. I can send you a list if you need it.
No, she doesn't take lists. You can send me the list.
Okay. While we have Alan on with us, I'm going to switch over to IRC and see if anybody has a question for you. Would that be okay, Alan?
Yeah. Go ahead.
So, what's the weather like in BC? Well, trade digs in.
Sunny with cloudy periods.
The Great White North.
Not in southern BC. It's kind of like Seattle here. Just a lot of rain.
Okay. Yeah, they're wanting to know if you have IRC. That would be no.
No, that'd be a negatory.
Sure. Okay, the George asks, sure. Sure, what's next? Hee-hee.
Should have changed his nickname.
Not sure what he means. I think maybe he's asking Alan, what's next for you? Or Aussie.
Oh, I see. Like project
if
wise,
project wise. If you can say, I'm assuming you probably can't.
I wish I could tell him and you guys, but I unfortunately can't.
Okay,
not at this point.
And of course, that means Skunk would want to ask some Baldur's Gate question, but that probably wouldn't be able to be answered either.
Yeah, he said. The George said yes. What is the next project for Aussie?
Yeah,
enough to shoot us.
We'll announce it down the road when the time is right.
But George said, yeah, I was expecting that answer.
Yeah.
That's okay, though.
So what's your favorite type of quest to play?
You know, something that has a great story, a lot of role-playing options, a lot of neat things to do and interesting places to go to. I mean, anything you see in a regular game squished into a quest, that's basically what I like to see. And I wrote quests on Darkness Over Daggerford, and I wrote some for Mysteries of Westgate as well. And I personally like adding a humorous touch to them. So those are my favorite quests. A lot of stuff mixed in.
Thanks for Darkness Over Daggerford, by the way.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Since that was a freebie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know it wasn't meant to be, but I was very appreciative.
Hey. I mean, in the end, it was a good thing. I think a lot more people played it than if it had been a premium mod for sale.
Hey, I know something you can do, Alan. Why don't you, if you wouldn't mind, why don't you list off everybody that was involved in the Mysteries of Westgate project? Just for those that might not know.
You know, let me get my list here.
Well, to start with, there's myself and Elizabeth who run Ossian, but we also work on every project that Ossian does. Then there's Luke Skull, Alessander, who's our lead designer.
There's Kevin Smith, lead scripter, Code Poets. He's also our programmer, lead technical designer. Leonard Bedner, that's Chalcius, he was a scripter. Matt Job, I think that's Nemoran, and he was a writer. Brian Dunn, Brother Roth, he was an artist. Alex Hugon, Little Hugie, he was a writer. Raphael Facchioli, he was a level designer. Alex Wagner, a.k.a. Evil Shade, he was a level designer. Russ Davis, that's Tiberius. He was a writer. Was Lee Hogg. Sir Elric, he was a scripter. And then we have our two QA testers, Zach Holbrook, that's Mayor Duin. He's now a writer with us. Cool. And Rich Barker. I can't remember his name now. It's Phantasma. I can't remember his handle, but he's a scripter with us now. And that was pretty much the Mysteries Westgate team, but we've actually grown since that time. So we have a bunch more people in that list right now.
I actually have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Through all of this that you've gone through with Mysteries Westgate, is there anything that you feel you've learned and can take with you into the next project?
I think we're doing things correctly in terms of how we want to approach story and, just making an adventure in general, quest design. Some of the things that we can improve for our next project is actually how we implement it, the tools we use. We had some good tools on Westgate, but we had some recommendations at the end of it of how to improve that. So really, for the next project, it's the process that's going to improve most of all. In terms of Westgate as a game itself, it wasn't meant to go all out and show the best that, we could ever possibly do. We did what we could do at the time, which Neverwinter 2 got released, and, there were lots of issues with, making a mod at the time. They were getting some bugs out still in the patches. So Westgate was good for what the time was back in spring 2007 and summer 2007.
Yeah, prior to even Mask the Betrayer.
Yeah, that's right. Even before Mask the Betrayer came out. But, we can actually do a much better game now, I think, in terms of, the scope of like epic design and art. We can pull other things into this. And so, it's not necessarily that we've learnt, that we can do that better. We've just staffed up that we can actually make it better. So processes is one thing that we've learnt, but we also have reaffirmation of what we did on Westgate that we can actually do something better now for whatever game we want to do next.
It sounds like you've grown and matured as a company, is what you're saying.
Put out better games.
So I know that you were producer on Baldur's Gate to Throne of Baal.
Yep.
And my question was, when did you start playing D&D?
I think that was in 1988. A friend of mine got involved, or got me involved with playing second edition tabletop. And getting together every Sunday with a few guys. And we did that for a couple of years, and that's when I got involved with that. And I really didn't know much about D&D, to be honest, but I knew just enough to get by. I had lots of fun with, you know, getting together in our session. And after that point, I started reading, you know, D&D books, the Salvatore books, you know, Dritz and so on. And that was sort of the mid-90s, early mid-90s. And it wasn't until I saw Baldur's Gate, when you started some PR about it before its release, that I got back into it.
And so how has that affected your computer RPG producing, having a D&D background?
It's helped because there's certain things you learn in a setting like Forgotten Realms of what you like to see in an adventure, and that kind of shapes, you know, what you like to design. And I mean, I don't think the tabletop, my experience, necessarily shaped how I like to design. I mean, moving from there onto the novels, that helped shape the kind of adventures I would perhaps like to play. And then playing Baldur's Gate, again shaped what design I'd like to see, and so how I like to design and how I can add to that.
I do have a question, and I think a lot of people might actually be curious about this. You are pioneering something that isn't really either not done much at all, or it's just so not, it's not, okay, I'm losing my words here. Oh my gosh, I think I've had too much caffeine.
Okay, I think this is a first.
Did somebody with a little less caffeine maybe ask that question?
Shut up, you guys. I hate you both.
She really loves us, Alan.
just quoting Armageddon. So.
She tells me all the time.
You guys are really pioneering something new, the whole virtual company, being that you have so many things going on that are interactive, the dialogue, the scripting, the building and everything else. What kind of growing pains do you think you've experienced since you've started Ossian, and what has it done to strengthen you?
I think the biggest thing, and this is something that people starting companies will also tell you about, is that probably the most important thing is people and finding the right people. And, you know, you're very thankful when you do find great, talented people and that you get to work with and that you pull them together to make a really great game. A virtual company can really do, I think, everything another, like a typical company can do in terms of content. Engine development might be a bit separate. You can still probably do it, but, you know, we can put together great games with a virtual company. And, you know, what we've learned through going through the process of developing both Daggerford and Westgate and other stuff is, you know, you really have to be on the ball in terms of communication. You have to really work out your processes for assigning tasks and, you know, QAing and that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's possible. You just have to find ways to make it work and find the right people to do it with.
Do you use any software that, you know, like we're doing Misery Stone and we're using SVN to all work on the same files?
Yep, that's exactly what we use. We use Tortoise SVN, which is graphical layer. Yep.
Alan, are you willing to take a couple more community questions? They're coming in on IRC.
Oh, yeah, they're coming in by the droves now.
Yeah, people from the Neverwinter Night 2 channels actually showing up now.
Sure, I can stand.
Okay, what's harder to find, good coders, artists, or writers?
That's from Feet.
Feet, yes.
Okay. You know what? They're all difficult to find. Good ones. I'll just say that I think good coders would probably be the most difficult to find. If you want a real good one, like, for example, our lead technical designer, he has his degrees in math and comp sci, and so he's worked in the industry before, like, not in the game industry, but software industry for 15 years about. So looking for talented people with experience and degrees who can also know Neverwinter, who made their own mods, I think that's a bit trickier to find.
Cadron also had a question, and it says, what region of Firon would you like to cover if all anything went? Oh.
Feyrun.
Okay, whatever. We're noted for butchering, so, hey, I got to keep up a tradition.
You mean for a future game, right?
Right.
I would say, as a next game, like an initial next game, I don't want to say where, because we already have places in mind, so I would just say somewhere that hasn't been done before. And if you go looking around the map and you take a look at all the Neverwinter 1 games and the Neverwinter 2 games and you start blocking out portions of them, you know, somewhere that is really exciting and that, you know, hasn't been had a campaign set there yet. So I can't answer that question more specifically at this point.
I see, Feet had one other question. What is the best and worst part of having an online studio?
The best is finding the best talent in the world. You can find them anywhere.
You're
not
awesome.
Blocked by finding just in one city. And the worst is it's more difficult to communicate than it is if you're all in one office and you want to lean over your cubicle divider and say, hey, I need this. And you have to, you know, email or Skype or do something else.
Cool.
Cadron also asked, why did you choose Westgate?
Why did you choose Westgate? We just looked at a couple of locations, and Luke was the one who suggested Westgate. That's Alessander. And he thought it was such a interesting city, you know, very colorful and all a big melting pot, that it would be perfect as a background to place a game in. So it was his suggestion for putting the next game there. And I'll admit, I wasn't too convinced initially, because a city adventure is harder to do than something set in like a rural adventure in the countryside, because it's denser and you have to pack more quests and more interactivity in there. But he eventually won me over and said, no, we could do this, and you know, I got on board and said, yeah, that sounds awesome, let's do it.
Do you still get to do creative things on projects while running Ossian? That question's by Feet.
Oh yeah, I'm kind of like the guy who likes being in the trenches with everybody. And so it is a challenge if you want to run your own company, you know, be a CEO and be a producer.
One last question. So do you have fun driving your Lamborghini around?
No fun at all.
Sorry, I had to get that in there. You know me.
Alan, they've accused me of being too serious tonight. Can you believe that?
Uh-oh.
First they make fun of me because I laugh too much, and now I'm too serious. There's no making these guys happy.
Why are you linking me into this?
Why not?
I don't know.
Okay, well, Alan, hey, we appreciate you taking some time to stop by and talk with us.
Sure. No other questions?
Hey, if you want to stick around, guy, you know, I'm sure these guys will have a field day.
See, did we ask all the ones that were out here?
Well, I was going to ask about skiing in BC. Do you ski?
I don't ski.
Okay,
used to cross country ski when I was a kid, but haven't done that in a long, long time.
Awesome. I haven't done either in a long time.
Okay, I'm telling him to ask some more questions. Okay, the George asked a question.
That was already asked.
It was?
Yeah, by Dave.
Well, you can do it a current.
The one about real life.
Do you do any real life pen and paper now?
No. No, I haven't done it in a while. I'm too busy with, you know, running the company and working
and giving
on the games.
Games for all of us.
I'm answering.
And we have. Has Ossian ever thought of remaking Daggerford for Neverwinter Nights 2?
Oh, Jason's in here now.
Yep.
I know. I've had people either post on the forums or email me about that, but I think it'd just be better to make a new game than go back to Daggerford and redo it. I think Daggerford was great for its time, and sort of it's still there in Neverwinter 1. I'm probably going to leave it there.
Okay, there's another question, and this is by, where did it go?
What edition D&D did he use when he first played from Rowan?
He said second edition.
Oh, yeah, yes, it was second edition.
Oh, somebody wants to know. Any teasers on the third or fourth new creature?
Third or fourth new creature? That's another I can't answer thing.
Yeah. I should not say anything about the creature because it's just
okay.
Two story length that.
What creatures? In Westgate?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. No. Nanny, nanny, boo, boo.
Well, wait a sec. Are you going to talk about them in your review?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Well, that's mom's word for me.
I'm going to say how cool they are. I'm going to be a total tease.
What was his favorite voiceover for Mysteries of Westgate?
Oh. What character?
Yeah, that'd be Captain Merrick. I love Captain Merrick. He's actually, I found out from BioWare. You know Pirates of the Sword Coast?
Mm-hmm.
And they have the Captain something or other. I can't remember what his name was. Do you remember? He was like one of the narrator of that game.
Oh, it's too long ago.
Yeah, well, the same Captain. I was like, oh, this is a great voice. Who is that? And our VO guy who lives in Edmonton, he was my sound designer back at BioWare, but he since left BioWare, said, oh, yeah, that's Gord. And I said, we need him to be the Captain in Mission Westgate. So that's my favorite VO, because Gord does awesome voices, and he does the pirate voice of Captain Merrick just perfectly. He's funny. So funny.
Okay, Kedron has a question, which I will have to second this. What on earth did they use to do the map for Westgate? It's awesome. I agree. Their maps are awesome.
Oh, yeah. I started off by, I drew everything in pencil, and all the buildings, everything is one big map. I sent it to our contract 2D artist, who actually drew the images for the intro movie, and he started coloring it in, and he just did a sort of a base color on everything. I took that back, and I just touched it up in Photoshop. And so it's basically pencil and Photoshop, and that's it.
Would they like to revisit the Stronghold idea in the future since Daggerford had one, or did it accomplish what they set out to do?
It depends on what story we do, but I wouldn't mind. If it fits with what we're doing, I wouldn't mind going back doing the Stronghold, because I personally like Strongholds. That's why we put it in Daggerford.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have laughed out loud like that. I read Kedron's question. It was funny.
Making this edit hard.
You love it that way.
How about I just re-answer the question?
No, you're okay. You had actually stopped right when she left, so you're okay.
Okay.
How many letters did they string together before they found their studio name?
That's from Kedron.
I don't get it.
In other words, how many letters did you throw together before you came up? You said, "Oh, there's a studio name." Yeah.
Oh, Ossian?
I think he answered that.
No, it's Celtic.
Yeah, it's named after, it's not, we didn't shuffle letters around and make up the name. It's named after a Celtic warrior bard.
You didn't Ossian. They didn't use a random name generator.
Yeah, no. That's for sissies. No, we did the old-fashioned way. We took out a big, heavy book of myth and lore and started looking at all the different names. So, and Ossian was one that, kind of fit. He's kind of a warrior, and he writes tales of all the epic adventures he goes on. So we thought, hey, that's kind of like us. We're going to write games with epic adventures. And, we're going to tell them to players. That fits.
Oh, man, Kedron's on a roll.
Does not have a set of bagpipes.
Good grief. You don't have to answer that one.
I have no bagpipes here.
Okay, here's one. I get to read the next question. Me.
Go.
Feet asks, does Ossian pick up outsource work or just focus on complete adventure packs?
Up until this point, we have focused on complete products. We have never actually outsourced work, before. But it's not something that we wouldn't consider. We've just been focused on complete products until now.
He adds that he's just wondering about the business model.
No, like I said, we're open to everything. We have to see what it is first, though.
What do you see the world economic situation doing to game studios?
Where'd you see that?
That's
<didn't>.
Dave's.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
the global economy, I mean, you've seen all of it in the news. You see publishers, letting go of 500 people, and so that just makes, budgetary spending tighter from publishers. So it makes it more difficult for all developers to, you know, do projects, get funding, and so on. At the same time, I think more people are going to stay home and play games rather than go out and do things that are more expensive. So you probably sell more. So tougher to get new projects going, but existing games and games that are already in development will probably sell better, I think.
Yeah, I think that with Neverwinter Nights 2, and, you know, we already own it, so mm-hmm. buying adventure packs is a great way to spend my entertainment dollar.
Yeah.
Jason asks, what area could you work out well or better than you expected in Mysteries of Westgate?
I think we could have improved the cutscenes, I think. It's something that we went from Neverwinter 1, which is a very flexible cutscene system, to Neverwinter 2, which was a very static cutscene system. You can't do a lot with that camera. You know, we had to, you know, in terms of the camera moving around, you have to follow an invisible character to do it, and it wasn't as flexible. And I don't think we were used to going back to a simpler camera mode. So, you know, now that we have experience with that system, you know, I think we could probably do a better job with cutscenes. We, in fact, might want to do something more interesting with a cutscene system now or in the future than we did in Westgate. But if we had to go back and improve parts of Westgate, I'd say some of the cutscenes we could polish up a bit. Well, I'm going to have time for one more question, I think, and then I'm going to have to go.
Okay. I think Loki just joined. He's probably going to have one. What's the airspeed velocity of an unladen that's a good one. Swallow? What's the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow?
Oh, jeez. Not this again. That's on our 100th questions anyway.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
Next question.
Next. Okay, the last question. Was Ossian able to use...
community custom content tools in their projects.
Yeah, were they able to use community content?
Yeah, that's something that we didn't do. We just used what we could develop ourselves. It was typical policy back in the BioWare days for the premium mods that you shouldn't really do that because there were legal ramifications unless you had it all worked out with the person who did it. But we just took the route that, you know, anything that we needed, we would do it internally.
Cool. All right, I think that's a good one to end on. Michelle, you want to wrap us up?
What would you like me to wrap you in?
All righty then.
You said I was being too serious.
Gift wrapped it in a digital mode.
So, Alan, any last comments before we let you go?
I don't know. Just, I want Mao out there. How's that?
We all do.
I want people playing it left and right.
Okay, Alan, thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan. I appreciate it.
Anytime. I'm always happy to do it. And like I said, I look forward to the review. Can't wait to hear it. All right, guys.
Bye, Alan. Goodbye, Alan.
Bye, Alan. See ya.
Welcome to Neverwinter Nights Podcast Reviewer Segment. To kick off this new segment, we have Mysteries of Westgate. I had the opportunity to play Mysteries of Westgate not once, but twice through. This is a single-player campaign, city adventure, and my personal guess would be traps and tricks are medium, roleplay heavy, hack and slash somewhere between medium and heavy, also dependent on how you play. Approximate hours from start to finish, 25. However, I'm a tad bit obsessive and nosy, and I have to click on everything. I chose to take both paths of good and evil. First, the evil path. Sorcerer, lawful evil, level 7 starting, and level 12 at finish. Drow elf. Good path. Chaotic neutral, favored soul, started at level 7, ended at level 13, Ergasani. Summary. Confounded by a cursed mask, you board a ship bound for Westgate, The clues and secrets are all around you. It is a matter of finding your way in what seems to be one of the most ruthless cities your incredulous eyes have ever seen. Westgate is laden with a dark history, every type of being known from the lowest dregs of society, creatures from all walks of life, and let's not forget the much-needed standards as nobles, priests, traders, merchants, and of course the City Watch. Everything a city has to offer and more. Story-driven, yet not railroaded in the least, the player will find the freedom to unfold the plot at their own pace. With many interesting characters adding to the atmosphere of Westgate, the city is alive, more ways than one. I personally felt the city's pulse everywhere I went. There never seems to be a dull moment. A few things I look for in a D&D-based game, catering to alignments would be one of them. Mysteries of Westgate not only succeeded at this, they excelled at it. I played through twice before my review, first the evil path, then I took a higher road with a less savory character. Both paths sated my role-playing appetite. Both paths ended, well, you'll have to play to find out. I'll just say this, I wasn't disappointed. I'd like to mention the art of creating quests. I am one of those that like picking up quests, however, so many games fall short in this area. Feeling like a FedEx delivery person and no real interest or purpose other than raising skill points or lining your pockets with some financial gain. The folks at Ossian really shined here. Every quest I found held my interest, each with its own story, plot, and purpose. The quests are imaginative, well thought out, excellent battles, and highly polished. I finally got to witness the new custom content. I will not be spoiling these amazing works of art with screenshots. They are simply wonderful. The models done for Mysteries of Westgate are the best I've seen in Neverwinter Nights 2. And considering this game was finished before Mask the Betrayer, that is quite impressive. The attention to detail was brilliant. Voice acting. Although I would have loved for more voice acting in Mysteries of Westgate, I know it was not in their budget. However, the amount done was so superb, high quality, excellent acting, and at all the right spots. Role-playing. The options for role-play are very well done. Between catering to alignments and well-thought-out decisions as a player, you will have a very nice variety. Let's talk about companions. Charissa. This companion is just something else. She is as hard to please as she is narrow-minded, a black-and-white world for this cleric. She is so devout to her god she feels she is above religion that supports her faith. I found her to be aggravating, but in a good way. Her dialogue was so well-written, it conveyed a strong, memorable personality. Mantites. And I know I probably do not say that properly. A fallen paladin, now fighter, he is a broken man. While playing, I wasn't sure if I even felt sorry for him or if I felt he was a bit pathetic. Regardless of all his pain and suffering, he was a good guy. Renara, a rogue by trade and former member of the Night Mask, this is one ball of fire. Not bad in my opinion. She just sees things differently when it comes to good and evil. Her perception leaves something to be desired by Charissa, and the two seem to butt heads a bit. Renara is not the easiest to warm up to. She is quite guarded, but I sense a personality trait in her that I really like. Another high point of Mysteries of Westgate. The companions are very well balanced. With this, I was able to play a caster and a favored soul, which I like to call a battle cleric. So, break out your crazy mace-bearing berserker or your squishy mage. It just works. Fun factor. No doubt about it, Mysteries of Westgate had me captured from beginning to both awesome endings. I got to experience Critical Path quest, side quest, and ambient NPCs. Gameplay was an endless amount of fun and intrigue. Now for those battles. I found some more challenging than others. Some also seemed nearly impossible. It is all about being prepared for the battle at all times. After a few attempts of failed battles, I realized I needed to better ready for them. I corrected the situation and found the battles to be very well balanced, challenging, and possible. progression of the PC. I found the level progression seemingly very natural. In a sense, it was not rushed or overly gratuitous. It was well-placed according to time and game encounters. Loot. Mysteries of Westgate does have several new custom items in this adventure pack. You will find them throughout the game as loot or merchant stock. Drops are not over the top, no super duper overpowering items, and the items that do drop are well placed for future use. My best advice, save it if it looks like it could be used or useful later. In closing, I've played it twice. The second time, never losing a bit of my enthusiasm. The two different paths were fun and exciting. The endings were some of the best ever. The twisted plots were brilliant. I feel very confident when I say this. It is a must-play for any playstyle. You get it all, except romances. I did not even miss the romance factor. There was enough background drama to be had. Thank you, Ossian, for a chance to review Mysteries of Westgate. I hope you enjoyed our review.
And we're back.
And we're back.
And hey. We're back.
Let's see. There was a couple of things we had in the news items for this week.
And now the news.
Rogue Dial Studios put out a demo of Purgatorio, and they mainly released it with the target being at the builders. So if you're a player and you may want to wait for the finished product, is what they said in the news article. So we'll put a link in the show notes for you to listen to that.
And I think we're gonna do our first new streaming test is gonna happen. So that's news, right? Since we're doing that now.
Yeah, we're doing that now.
So yes. Maybe we should.
It appears to be working.
It does.
Since on our show notes, we list that as a news item.
Every Tuesday night from 9 to 10 p.m. Central
Tuesday.
Standard.
Tuesday.
Shut up.
Huh?
I'm going to kill you. I think I'm going to leave.
Is that the second edition?
I love you, Trey. You know I love you so much.
Oh, I can hear us now.
Can you hear us now, Trey? I thought you could hear us already.
I can hear myself. there's like a 3 second delay.
Isn't it a little narcissistic? Yes, Trey is having a little narcissism right now.
Okay, I'm going to disconnect this because this is distracting.
He's distracting himself.
Okay, so that works. Thank you, Johnny Ree. I tell you, Ree is the man. Johnny. I just got it to work in iTunes, and I could hear, there was like a 3 second delay, and I would say something and then hear myself.
Cool.
Yeah.
I have
he
as much time as a long book.
Can you hear us, Roe? Roe's on.
Hi, Roannon.
I sounded really loud, though.
Are we really that? Well, they have volume control.
Oh, do they?
Well, yeah. God.
Well, duh. Who's DD? DD joined on the IRC.
Hey, Rowan.
I don't know.
Can you hear us?
Double D. Can we call him that?
You're Double really D's. Bassy. Daddy sings bass.
Mama sings tenor.
And Trey doesn't sing.
Johnny said there's a lag.
How does he know there's a lag? Oh, because he's listening to Skype.
He's listening.
and you said so. We believe you, Trey. You said there's a 3 second lag. That's to stop
this
me.
This is cool, though. Everybody who thinks this is cool, say this is cool.
This is cool.
On the IRC.
Oh.
I can't hear.
Yes, yes, Johnny. Johnny says I can hear Michelle from the living room.
Cool. Okay, everybody can hear us. That's awesome.
Well, thanks for your review. That was cool.
Well, you're very welcome. There will also be a short video game play clip that I did. And no, I did not show any of the new creatures. I did not give any major spoilers, but I did do a gameplay video clip. And I have some awesome screenshots.
Cool.
And we're going to put that, in the vidcast?
Yeah.
That's going to be on the podcast.
No, but the video.
I'll put it up in the right-hand corner of the website on the front page.
Yeah.
Where our little videos show.
So if you're thinking of something to do for Easter, and you're just at a loss of what to get your gamer buddy, Cafe Press. Go to get something from our store, and we'll be glad you did. Yeah, right. Rohannon says, buy an apron.
Buy an apron.
Hey, you know what? Grilling season's coming. Spring,
yes,
spring
definitely.
Is almost here. Episode 100. We're getting closer each week. Only 5 more, including this one. Wow. Have we got some questions? Probably enough to fill up 2 hours.
All right. I think that's it for this week, boys and girls.
So until next time.
Get in game.
And level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2009.
Or maybe not.
Hi. Hey, we got the George. Hello, oh. The George.
Hey, the George.
Doing that now.
That's I could do like my 1-900 voice. No, never mind.
Okay, Bouncy Rock is in her.
Did you hear that, Trey?
I'm sorry, what?
She wants to do the 1-900 voice that she
It
has.
Was a joke. It was a joke.
It's out there.
And now.
So there we were in the Congo.
They're Yeller.
Old Yeller.
So someone say something, and I'll see the icon light up.
Okay, hey, this is Trey, a.k.a. Okay. Ashcon.
Hey, yep. This is me, Michelle.
And I'm Dave, eat the surf.
Okay.
One of your operators here at Time Life Magazine.
That's a good voice, Dave.
Yeah. Lots of late night TV.
Too many infomercials. I don't get it.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, hey, they can hear. The George can hear us. Hey, the George.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-oh. George of the podcast.
Strong as he can be.
What is it?
Well, I could have done what is that? The lady with the thin see-through dress, the president?
Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, Marilyn Monroe in drag via Dave.
Aww. Happy birthday.
Ryan screams.
Happy birthday.
Skunk.
This is the Neverwinter Nights podcast burlesque.
Christ. Johnny Ree
is going into the doghouse. I think everyone should donate an apron for Michelle. Don't ask, just do it.
Oh. Hey, you guys wanted to stream this stuff.
Okay, now, excuse me. I am going to explain that one.
One,
Michelle should never be allowed to wear white. 2, I am very messy in the kitchen when I'm cooking. I am an outstanding cook, but I am the messiest cook in existence. Therefore, and now it is clarified, and there will be no innuendo. Thank you very much.
I don't think we want to know what you and Johnny do in the kitchen.
Nuts! Shut up. Yay!